Hey, hey, welcome back to the Mandated Podcast Show. This is your host, Selwyn Robbins, and if you cannot tell, I am very excited. Got such an awesome show for you today with our guest, Christopher Harold, with KingdomMarketingSecrets.com. He also has a podcast as well underneath the same name. And today we're going to speak about entrepreneurship. Man, it really is awesome. Telling you, it really is. But before we go any further, as I always do, I want to ask how you are doing, guys. Man, you know, as far as myself this week, actually on and off lately, I've been dealing with a lower back issue. So I don't know if it's I'm sleeping bad or if I got a bad mattress or I'm just not doing what I need to physically. But nonetheless, I am here and still energized to provide to you an outlet that we can speak about as men, the things that really drive us, encourage us, empower us, the things that may even break our hearts. But this is all honest conversation that I want to make sure that we're striving to hear, because my whole thing is I don't want you to stay the same way you are today. I want you to be the best person that you can be in God's sight as always. And I know what God has done for me, and I will continue to lift his name up because I know he has blessed my life over these years. And if I look back on the things that I was acting a nut about, man, there's no reason he should have kept me in his graces, but by grace, I am saved. I can't even go any further. By grace, I am saved. And, you know, just because of that, he has redeemed me to a place that he has said, he specifically said to me that I can still use you. And I just want to encourage those that are listening today, if you feel that you cannot go any further, I want you to know that you can. Do not hold on to that fault, that issue, that circumstance. Don't hold on to the things that you did wrong. Know that you can continue, you can move forward, all in a spirit of forgiveness. And, you know, I just want to say this real quick, is that we have a hard time dealing with how do we forgive ourselves. Well, my personal testimony is this, and this is what God showed me, is that through the story of Peter, as we know, Peter denied Christ three times before the rooster crowed. And when he came to that revelation, he was just so brokenhearted, so downtrodden, that he went back to his previous life before he met Jesus. And what the Lord showed me in the spirit of forgiveness is that he has already forgiven us. But how do we move from unforgiveness to forgiveness in ourselves? And what he has basically told me, or what he has showed me, is that you have another chance to do this. Forgive yourself. Say, you know what? You did whatever it is, but you still have that opportunity to grow from it. And once you hold on to that word, you can move successfully. All right. Okay, guys, so when you hear my voice again, we'll be coming back from a break and we'll be going into the interview with Chris Harrell. All right. Hey, guys, welcome back to another episode of Mandated. I'm so excited about the interview that I have today. As you see before me, I have this young guy right here. He's smiling. I think he's pretty happy right now with the things that's going on in his life. I have Chris Harold with me from Kingdom Marketing Success or Secrets. Secrets, correct?
Kingdom Marketing Secrets, yeah, and God's Masterpiece Academy.
Cool. Awesome. Well, Chris and I, we're both located here in the DFW Metroplex, and I believe Chris really has a story for where we want to go today, and we're speaking about entrepreneurship from the male perspective, and he has such a great story that I remember some years ago that we'll have him go into a little bit later. But first, Chris, brother, how are you doing, man?
Oh, doing well. Can't complain. You know, everything's going well in the midst of what's happening around the world. You know, God's still God, and yeah, everything's going great. Can't complain.
Oh, yeah, you said the word right there. God's still God. He ain't moving. He's sovereign and still on that throne, right?
always. See, today's day, he don't change. Say yesterday, today, and forevermore, right?
All right. That's why we're able to sit here today and know that he got it all under control.
Exactly.
So, you know, in that, you know, let's go ahead and jump into that part of it. How is God moving you right now?
Very interesting question, because a lot, you know, with this year, you know, that we've been going through, you know, for 2020, as you know, this episode we're recording 2020, no matter, you know, I don't know when people are going to be listening to this, but you know, very interesting year. A lot has happened. And this, if I were to just encapsulate everything just in this year, the biggest thing God has been doing to me is showing me, once you walk into your assignment, it's boundless what can happen to you. I mean, in the midst of crises, in the midst of pandemics, in the midst of, you know, this different kind of events that are happening to, you know, billions of people across the globe. If you discover your assignment and walk in that assignment, it's almost as if you're having peace in the midst of chaos, you know, and that's been really, really the biggest thing, you know, to me. And that's what I love to share with people is trust and obey. You know, that's a hashtag God gave me early 2020.
Yeah.
When he put me from one assignment that I was doing in business to a brand new one that he launched after the pandemic. And it's just been amazing what he has done with that, man. Not just for me and my family, not just for revenue in the business, but just for the lives that have been impacted, you know, through that assignment. It's just mind-boggling once you get put in a position where you trust and obey and just follow your assignment to the T, no matter what else is going on around you.
Okay, you've used that word assignment a couple of times, so let's talk about that. Going from one assignment to the next, let's go back as grade school kids. We couldn't stand assignments, right? You know,
right, exactly.
We didn't even like to have to go from one class to the next down the hall. We're like, you know what? We can't wait till the day is over. Matter of fact, I remember when I was in one of the worst class I could ever be in. That was science, and we were learning time, and I was always looking at the clock to see what time it was because I wanted to get up out of that class.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But you know, just in that, the task or the assignments, as you said, that you're responsible for at that time, how do you transition from what you already have in your hand to what God is now transitioning you to?
Yeah, I think the key thing, because it's a good point you mentioned, you know, when you're growing up as kids and assignments, I think the key thing to, I like to say, prospering your assignment. And when I say prospering, I'm not just talking about materially or financially. I mean, just full prospering in your health, your wealth, your you know, your mindset, your relationships, just your purpose. You know, Ephesians 2:10, you know, that was like the foundational verse for when God led to me to start this movement called God's Masterpiece. You know, saying we are God's masterpiece, you know, created in Christ Jesus for good works before the very foundation of the world. So that tells me that God has given each and every individual an assignment that aligns with your purpose, which is going to also align with your passion. I think the thing about school, like you mentioned, the thing about school, a lot of times we're forced to do things in school that do not align with our passion or our purpose. Yeah. That's one of the things school robs people of. You know, school doesn't really teach you to, let's discover your gift. Let's help you discover why you're here. It's a certain curriculum and structure they do for everybody.
Yeah.
They put everybody in the same box, but God doesn't, you know? And I believe that's, you know, in that sense, it carries over into, you know, corporate America as well, where you kind of put into a box where people not there discover your assignment. Let's see what you're gifted at. Let's help you discover why you're here, and then put you in that position, because if I put you in that position, you know what? You're going to thrive, you know? You're going to love what you do. It's not going to seem like work. And that's why every day for me, it's not work. Every day for me is just, it's a walking in purpose and assignment, and I don't grow weary. I don't go tired. And if I do, that tells me that now I'm putting more of my own strength into it. I'm kind of doing some things that I want to do instead of saying, okay, Lord, what does you want me to do? And you know, and discovering those things, because I believe that's, you know, so important that, you know, that people really understand purpose and assignment. It's going to align with your passion. It's going to, you know, it's going to align with things that typically are natural to you. If it's something that you're doing grudgingly, it's something that, you know, that people like to say we're grinding. If you're doing it, then you're probably not walking in your assignment. It's a good indication. If you hate what you do every morning, that's a good indication. That's not what you put on this planet to do. You know, that's a good indication to you. And I used to be there. I used to hate. I used to be there.
Yeah.
I was there for many, many, many years, you know, So,
you know, you talked about something earlier that I actually had mentioned with my last guest, Reggie Scott, and his boys. We were talking about creativity. And the one thing I had brought up was the box, and that as kids in elementary school, we're always taught to color in the lines. You know, you have the black outline, color inside that, never go outside of it, because then it's not going to look as the masterpiece, right, you know, that is designed to be. And I told him, I said, you know what, the one thing I don't like about that, it has a structure, it's place, but at the same time, it has taught us or kept us inside of a wall when there's something outside of that or on the other side that we can explore. Mm-hmm. But because we're in this one path, this narrow focus, we're not able to think or even be encouraged to know that there's something else out there. So with that, let's go into entrepreneurship. I think that really is, or can be said is, the heart of it, is that you know that there's something out there. I was just reading in our Maximize Man book study, the paperclip, the simplest little thing, three inches of wire, that all that happened was a man had time on his hands, and he said, let me see what I could do with this. And he just folded it. That's all he did. And he put it together with some paper.
Yeah,
we still use that today. That was back in like 1872, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
That right there is a great example of an entrepreneur or potential entrepreneur seeing. So with that word of vision and seeing, what is it that you saw about your business that allowed you to create more?
Yeah, great question. And you said it's seeing, because see, a business, I mean, every problem is a business.
Mm, true.
See, but it takes the person with sight to see. You know, Jesus always says that, let those have ear, let them hear, let those who have eyes, let them see. I would say, right? So a good example would be, every crisis presents an opportunity. So like, so for myself, I would say that when there is a problem, an entrepreneur thinks as, okay, well, how can I solve this problem? Usually they say that a lot of things you complain about, there's probably some guy put you on earth to help solve. Right?
I've heard that
before. People complain. You know, you see it everywhere. They're not doing this. They're not doing that. I wish they had this. I wish they had that. It's like, well, why don't you do it? Because obviously, if it's eating you up, God probably put that in you for you to solve their problem. So every problem is a business.
Yeah. But
the problem is that society as a whole has not been conditioned to think that way. We've been conditioned to think, let somebody else take care of that problem.
That's right.
And that's the problem, where so many people are not walking in their purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not walking in their assignment. Because I mean, I know when I worked a job, and it's nothing against jobs, but I know statistics say, this is proven, that 80% of people that work a job are not happy and satisfied with that job.
Yeah.
It's proven. I mean, I'm a candidate. I was fired for like 15 different jobs because it just wasn't compatible for me. I mean, I tell folks today, you know, I'm psychologically unemployable. I mean, you know, but
never heard that.
But it's because that's not what you were put on her to do. Now you can do a job to elevate you to get to another place, and but that job should be treated as an internship. You know, it should be treated at that, you know, I'm getting paid here as an intern to move on to something better. You know, and that's also the reason, you know, that a lot of jobs or people that own the jobs, business, basically the CEOs, they should work for the government, have so much turnover with other people, because why? They're not in where they need to be. If they help people say, okay, let's try and discover what your gifts and true talents are, instead of you saying, hey, this is a job for you. Because once you do things for money, you know, now everything has changed. If you work at a job just so you can earn some money, you're missing it. If I tell folks all day long too, if you're trying to get into a business just to earn some money, you're missing it. Because once something happens that you don't like, that you don't agree with, or once you realize how challenging it really is, you're quitting, you're on to the next.
Yeah.
People quit businesses all day long. People quit jobs all day long. Why? Because they did it for the wrong motives, the wrong reasons. They didn't have long-term thinking, short-term thinking. So with me, you know, when I always knew, because I started my very first business in 1998. You know,
okay. So
even when I worked a job, I had a part-time business. I went through many. People call me a serial entrepreneur. I've tried everything under the sun. I've sold everything on this planet, you know. So, but God had put into my heart about 10 years ago that I went to this event, and the person at this event did something I never saw before. It was a business conference, and this person did an altar call at a business conference, and it blew my mind. And I was like, yeah, I never saw it before. It was business. Then they say, you know what? I want to change these up a minute. I'm sensing there's things going on.
Yeah.
And I was like, and God put in my spirit, that's what I'm calling you to do. And this was 10 years ago. Right. Wow. Now, I didn't know how I would do it, what it meant at the time. At the time, I think 2010, I was far from like my 12th job at that time out of the 15. So
12 out of 15.
Yeah, that's 12 out of 15, man. But he put that in my spirit. But then in 2017, he told me to start this Facebook group called Kingdom of God Entrepreneurs. Had no idea why he told me to do it. And all I did was had a Facebook group. I was sharing different marketing tips because I, you know, that's something I invested a lot of time in, been passionate about, to learn how to, you know, build businesses online successfully. Mm-hmm. And I was just sharing tips. But around that same time, 2016, you know, I was able to, August 23rd, 2016, I was able to go full time. I was able to fire my job. As I say, I did it live on Facebook. Mm-hmm. But I was able to do it on God's terms. Before, I was trying to do things on my terms. Mm-hmm. And when I say by God's terms, it's because when I left, they told me, if you want to come back, we got a spot for you.
Yeah.
Every other job told me, get the heck out of here and don't look back. Right. Uh-huh. And I knew, and God gave me peace that day, August 23rd, 2016. And I've been full time, you know, in business since 2016. Mm-hmm. But he had told me in 2017, I started a marketing agency. I was helping businesses grow online, but it was putting my spirit that, okay, it's time for you to begin to help other believers grow their business.
Yeah.
And at that time I had a marketing agency and it did really well. Mm-hmm. You know, it took off in 2017. In 2018, it went down valley. In 2019, it was mediocre.
Talking about that.
Yeah, it was mediocre. And that's when God was telling me, it's time for you to stop this. I have something else for you. And it reminded me of, I tell a story with Elijah at the brook, you know, because a lot of folks think that if you're struggling, if things are not going well, then you must be outside the will of God. You know, what it is, it's not working. It must not be God's will. You know, I'm not sinning. I'm not. Then you start looking at yourself. You get very religious minded. Well, maybe I need to give more money to the church. Maybe I need to go join another ministry now. You know, you start doing, you try to persuade God to bless you, as we say, right?
Yeah.
But no, if I look at Elijah, I look at that story, I'm like, okay, God told him to go to the brook. And for a season, and he said, you know, stay here, and the bird's gonna feed you, and you drink water from the brook. Well, eventually, what happened? Mm-hmm. The brook dried up. Mm-hmm. Now, was he outside the will of God? No, he wasn't. Mm-hmm. His provision dried up, but he was still in the will of God. Yeah. Well, sometimes God dries up one provision in one brook because he has another for you. Mm-hmm. But I was so disobedient because I was like, no, God, this worked for me in 2017, so I'm not moving. I'm gonna figure this out. I was stubborn, persistent. You know, which is the attribute of an entrepreneur, like persistence, perseverance. Yeah. And I'm not a quitter. I'm like, no, I ain't quitting on this. I'm going to figure this out. Mm-hmm. And God kept drying it up. Things that I used to do that worked easily stopped working. I was working harder. I was grinding. Mm-hmm. I was like, and nothing was working. I couldn't even give away my products and services to people no more. Nobody was buying anymore. I'm like, Lord, what's going on? Then in March 2020, when the pandemic hit, I lost my last client in my agency. And that's when I said, okay, Lord, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm done now. I've been rebellious. I've been disobedient. I've been knowing what you're telling me to do for the last, you know, couple of years, but it didn't make sense to me because what was prospering, what was full, you know, was like, why should I change? And that's when I said, okay, Lord, I'm done. Mm-hmm. March 20, I lost my last client, pandemic hit, people were panicking. And I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? So for a whole month, I did nothing but sought God. What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
In April, I was losing money because I'm still trying to run the business and I didn't have anything coming in. That's when God gave me something I call the Money and Marketing Masterclass, and he gave me a model that I teach in there called the Prosperity Pyramid. And it basically is a foundational model that I teach that everything should be based upon. Mm-hmm. It has God first, it has kingdom principles, and it has mindset, it has marketing sales, and then it has a very small top corner piece is money. Because what God built in me, as a Christ in the kingdom entrepreneur, we don't pursue money. Mm-hmm. Money comes as a byproduct. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's a whole reversal of the world system.
Yeah.
You know, and when he showed me that, then I launched this masterclass challenge, you know, in May, just strictly with, you know, Christian business owners. And ever since then, he led me do this thing called God's Masterpiece. And it's just been ridiculous. I'm like, wow.
Well, hold on real quick. Let's get back to there's a lot in there.
I know.
The my wife and I have watched this gentleman, I believe his name is David Biglio. His interview is called Impact Quoting IQ. And I remember him stating specifically this thing about those that work for him, because he was in nutrition, done real well. So now he's kind of expanded or whatnot. But one thing he said, for those working for him, and Gary Vee, I want to say, probably purports this just as well, is that if you feel working for me is not working for you, let me help you get to where you need to go.
Yeah.
And you had mentioned the CEOs. Not many CEOs today would actually say that, you know, because what that does is say, I'm losing somebody that's going to help my business, right? And I need my business to grow. I don't have time to feed into your life like that.
Right. I don't care about you. What you designed to do, what you purpose to do. Right.
And that's what we go through, you know, 9 to 5 every day or whatnot.
Exactly.
But in that, just as you were talking about, every problem that we see is a business. So I'm just thinking about the simplest thing that I don't think we would ever get rid of, trash. You know, somebody at one point said, we got to get rid of this trash. And they've made that into what it is today. Right. And I look at myself going around to work, and I see things that could be done or whatnot, but I don't necessarily take initiative on all of them. Mm-hmm. So with that right there, how can somebody that is seeing a problem that can be a business actually take the initiative to do so while they're still being full-time at a job?
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. What God has revealed to me of a lot of studying and really growth is that even at your, if you're still working your job, that is your business. That's part of your assignment, you know, because you're there to solve problems. The only reason why they're paying you, whatever they're paying you, because they believe you can solve a problem.
Yeah.
You know, and if it's a place of employment that has some sense, you know, they will pay you accordingly, you know, based on the problems you can solve.
Yeah.
You know, it's, but most people don't look at it that way. They're not going there. Most people, when they go look for a job, they're thinking about themselves.
Right.
I gotta pay my bills. Mm-hmm. I got this car note. I got this mortgage. I got these bills. So I need to go find me a job. How much you paying? That mindset is on that. Mindset is not coming to the place, well, what problems do you have that I can help you solve? I mean, think about that. If I never did it because this wasn't taught to me. Right. But if you approach it that way, you can begin to find your purpose even there. You know, not everybody's purpose is in a business. You know, God taught that in me too. I mean, you got three types of people. You have entrepreneurs, you have intrapreneurs, and even you have employees. Not everybody's called to be an entrepreneur. Some people are entrepreneurs, CFOs, and CFOs. You call us to support the visionary. You call us to support the entrepreneur, then employees. But being an employee, that's your business. What they're paying you to solve a problem. And if you go in there and give them you solve problems and you show them you're a person of value, the more value you provide, guess what? When it comes down to cut day or furloughs or anything like that, guess who's going to be cut last? You will be. But if you're a person who show up late, you know, you do as little as possible, you're watching the clock, well, when it's time to cut down, then you can be the first one to go, and you can be the first one in raising sand, acting crazy, acting a fool, but you brought no value to them. They were losing money because it's a business to them. If I bring on an employee in my company and they're not doing what I ask them to do and not showing me that drive, well, now it's hurting my business, hurting my bottom line. That's the way jobs look at it. It's a business for them. It's not nothing really personal. It's like, it's an expense for me to pay you. So if I'm going to pay you a salary, or then I need for you to, you know, earn that. I need for you to put in that 8 hours full and show up on time and do what you. And when people look at it that way, what problems can I solve? How much more value can I be to you?
Yeah.
And everything changes, you know.
That's definitely good. You know, just within the job, you know, our managers, you know, they try to encourage us as they can about being the best we can for the job that we have in front of us, because we're very autonomous, meaning the jobs that are assigned to us, we can do them individually. There are times when we have to call on somebody else for help. But whether we're working individually or collectively, we're still trying to build ourselves up for whatever goal that is that we're trying to reach. And, you know, just about every company at the end of the year, they're giving you a review for everything you've done previously. And you're just hoping, it's like, yeah, I know I've done a good job.
Well, you know, I have clients and students in my God's Masterpiece program, which is like a mastermind that I'm helping, like, you know, mm-hmm. business owners and entrepreneurs, you know, grow their business. Well, there are a few of them who still got full-time jobs, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they got their business on the side.
Yeah.
And kind of like how I used to be, a few of them hate their jobs. They like, I hate it. I hate going in. And I say, I understand. I know how you feel. Mm-hmm. I've been there. I've hated too. I said, but in order for God to release you to go mm-hmm. full-time in your business, you got to learn how to, what's the word? What's the phrase? Like harvest or plant where you harvested or grow where you planted, something like that. But like,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. You have to learn how to do that right then, because not until I did that at my last job that I had, mm-hmm. not until my attitude changed, my mindset changed. and I went in there doing the best I could do, because the last job I had was a sales job. I was one of the top salespeople there, but I used to have a bad attitude because I hated and wanted to be in business full time.
Yeah.
And God never released me, because even when I got fired from a job thinking I'm going to go full time in business, it never happened. I had to go and find another job.
Right.
But not until my mindset changed. And I tell my class students this all day long. They loan. Mm-hmm. You got to change the way you're thinking. I said, God is not going to release you and bless you into this business until you change and show up to that place of employment with the right attitude, the right mindset, looking to help them. Then he'll release you. Didn't say, because stewardship. It's all about stewardship.
And let me add this in there about God releasing you, based off what you're doing and what you're saying there, is that you need to come to a certain maturity level at your mm-hmm. job mm-hmm. in order to maintain your own business there.
Oh man.
Because if you already are showing up 10, or let me not even say 10, if you're showing up on time, you're already late, because they tell you to show up early and be on time, right? Yeah. And but, you know, for example, you know, we have some guys that know their job, dude, but it's like they took it for granted to show up a little late mm-hmm. and still receiving awards. And, I got kind of ticked off. I'm like, I'm here every day on time, meaning early, but these people are receiving awards. They're doing their job, but it's like, come on. That's but silly. It made me think about my maturity level in that selling. You still need to be doing a little bit more. Yes, you're showing up on time. Yeah, you're doing the thing. But now maybe you need to take a little bit more initiative. Maybe you need to speak up a little bit more. Whatever those criterias are, which you may not know, are mm-hmm. going to translate into your business, because everything that you're doing on that full-time job, the pros and cons, the things you see, the things you don't like, go with you. Mm-hmm. So tell me about that. How did you take that attitude that you were talking about into your business?
Well, you know, the job is like I said, it's an internship. And if you're not effective at your job, you're definitely not going to be effective with a business.
Right.
There is no guaranteed paycheck in the business.
Come on.
There is no first and 15th automatic coming in. You know, there is no, you know what, next Friday I'm going to get something. No, there is no guarantee in the business. So, yeah. So if you have poor habits, if you have poverty habits, if you have the wrong behaviors, wrong action, I mean, all sorts of mindset first, you know, your actions control everything. Your actions control your behavior, controls your actions, your actions mm-hmm. control your results, you know? And so it all starts with the mindset first, you know, everything you do is mindset first. And so I had to shift. I had to change my attitude about how I felt about that place. You know, and once I did that, I'm telling you, once I did that and did it consistently, I got more favor there. I went from working 6 days to 3 days. I was the only person who was allowed to go from full time to part time. Everybody else is full time people there.
Wow.
Then I went from 3 days to 2 days. Right. Then eventually I was able to walk away, you know, from that. Like I said, did it God's way, you know, did it his way instead of mine. But it started with that mindset shift first, you know, and realizing that, okay, it's all about stewardship. God sees all, you know, and like you mentioned, you showing up, you seeing other people doing, well, you know, basically they're stealing. If you're showing up late, you see working that they're stealing, but realize that God sees it and somebody else sees it. And it's character building.
So you mentioned shift in mindset. How did that shift in mindset affect Ms. Harrell?
It's funny. I think I don't know if you heard. I got an episode on my podcast that I recommend your listeners to go listen to, especially if maybe you got entrepreneur desires and maybe your spouse doesn't. I'm trying to find this episode, but I did it with my wife mm-hmm. and my Kingdom Marketing Secrets podcast. Maybe they go check it out. But it's called. Let me find this.
Episode 56.
Yeah, how to succeed as an entrepreneur when your spouse isn't. My wife, we did this episode and we was very candid. We shared stuff we never knew about each other in this episode.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's because of this topic, you know?
Yeah.
Because for many years, what my desires and entrepreneurs' desires were on them. I shared my story. I mean, 5 years ago, we were near divorce. Literally. I put us in $35,000 worth of credit card debt. You know, at one time, it was down to $12 in our account. I was just doing business after business, pursuing business. I was at it just at all costs. I was neglecting my family duties. I was just hell bent, you know, as we said, on my business. Mm-hmm. And it was tough for many, many, many years. It was tough. But, you know, by the grace of God and by us both knowing God, which matters a lot, you know, especially when you have challenges in marriage, you know.
Yeah.
God was able to, you know, work through that. And I thank God because, you know, she's been one of my biggest supporters now, which is huge, especially for a man. We're talking about men, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
If your spouse supports you, you know, if your spouse doesn't support you, you can have everybody in the world supporting you, your friends, your family. They can, we believe you can do this, but if you got conflict in the home,
it's very
difficult for that man because, you know, that man looks for that woman for respect, for admiration, and for encouragement, you know. And for years we butted heads because she got sick and tired of my thing. We butted heads.
Yeah.
I said, you don't support me. She said, I do. But it's funny that day I typed in my resignation letter, August 23rd, 2016.
Yeah.
It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. God woke me up. I was typing the letter out. But before I hit send, I went and I woke her up and I said, hey, come and read this. And she came, but here was the big difference. She came and she read this, right? Check this out. She read it, and I'm expecting her to say, you know, I was expecting bad, negative. I was expecting her to say, no, you can't do that. She read it, and she looked at me. And she said, okay. She said, you believe God tell him what you do? Okay, go ahead. And she told me that it was like my whole world changed.
All right.
Bro. I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. Yes, I hit send, and I was like, it changed everything for me, brother. You know, but before that, we had a lot of issues, you know, you know, and she supported me. I just didn't see it, you know, but, you know, because we all have our own paradigms, you know, we see what we want to see, you know, based on our own worldview. We see. And so I had my own paradigm. My idea was support was rah, rah, this, everything I do, get behind me. You know, her idea was support, you know, whereas I'm still here. I'm still doing, you know, things of this nature. So, but yeah, I think that's so important, man, to have that, you know, that because it just makes everything stronger and it makes what you do. You're like, okay, I got my wife behind me now. Oh man, nothing, you know, I got God with me and my wife with me. Who else? What else do I need? You know, who else can be against me? You know, God is for me. If my wife is for me, you know, who else can be against me?
That's right. And you know, in that, you know, speaking about Shaylon, but you also have, or I saw the videos, you had your kids starting podcasts with you as well. How are they taking to that?
Yeah, well, you know, see, I tell my kids, I believe this is true, and I was going to post this on Facebook. Whatever you are, you train your kids to be. Mm. Case in point. And there's no disrespect to anybody, but if you're someone who's always traded time for money your whole life, or if you're someone that if you pay your kids to do chores, if you pay them to clean the house, take out the trash, rake leaves, mow the lawn, do the dishes, anything like that, if you're paying them, subconsciously, now you think you're doing them a good favor, a good thing by giving them allowance for cleaning, but subconsciously you're training them, I hate to say this, not to be janitors, but to realize I got to manually clean something, do something to get money. Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't taught this from my parents, you know, and I love my parents, but my parents never taught me entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
My parents wanted me to go out and get a job paying 80 grand a year, you know, because even when I was going through my lean times, they was, you know, no one really supporting me that much. You're like, go get you another job, right? Because they didn't understand the vision I had.
Yeah.
The calling God put on me. But with my kids, I'm teaching my kids something I wasn't taught. So I teach them entrepreneurship. I tell my kids this. I say, if you want to go out, you know, and get a job, you get older, that's fine. But I said, but they're going to teach you entrepreneurship skills because I want you to be in the best position possible.
Yeah.
Like I tell my daughter, you know, she has a gift of writing. So I'm trying to tell her, they won't teach you to write books. Like I'm writing a book right now, be released soon called Kingdom Affirmations. Okay, right.
Awesome.
Right. And I was like, but I said, the advantage you guys have now, you guys are kids. And I'm trying to equip you with something that literally when you get in your 20s, I mean, the sky's a limit for you.
Yeah.
Right. To put stuff in you. So when she was younger, when I did real estate investing for like a couple of years, I just take her to the house with these houses, look at these houses with me. She didn't have a clue what she was doing, but I just want to put that around her. Now my daughter actually works for my LLC, works for my company, right?
What?
And so yeah. So she's official this year. She's works for my company. So I pay her through my company, right?
Wow.
And but also something that I do with them are in my two sons. You know, my daughter's 15, my two sons are, you know, 10 and 6. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, listen, daddy gonna pay y'all for reading nonfiction books. You know, you'll read your Proverbs every day, mm-hmm. and daddy gonna pay you to read entrepreneurship books or some nonfiction books that can help you develop.
Mm.
So I'd rather pay my kids for that, because when I studied the high achievers,
yeah,
they said, I don't pay my kids to do chores. I'm not teaching my kid to take out trash when they get older. They said, but I will pay them for developing their mind. I would pay them for developing their skills, for developing their gifts.
Wow.
Because they said that amount of money you're paying them is going to be a lot cheaper than some money you might want to, something happens later on in their 20s, they go the wrong road. Yeah. So that's the same mindset that I have, that I don't pay my kids for chores. I pay them for reading books. I pay them for, you know, developing their gifts, developing their talents. I said, I pay you for this. They'd be like, okay. And kids, you got to motivate them a little more. But
oh man,
yeah, that's something that I learned. That was like, wow, is this different? Because I didn't grow up that way, you know. I didn't grow up that way, you know, because my parents didn't know that, you know. And depends on, you know, most of our parents didn't know that, because different generations have different opportunities.
Yeah. And that's, you know, very key there. I want to hit on that real quick, as in regards to you and Shalom building up these kids for the future, not just specific for going to school to get an education. But alongside that, expanding their minds for the different possibilities that are out there now. And, you know, for me, right now, I love, as far as, let's speak about space real quick. I love what SpaceX is doing, and NASA are teaming up for something we haven't been able to see in almost 10 years because of the space program shutting down. And what's so interesting is that my cousin's son, he was working on one of Elon Musk's projects. I want to say it was the Hyperloop, if I'm correct. I may get that wrong, whatever. I cannot remember. But just speaking to him about that and looking at his age, you know, being young, you know, 20 something years old on one of the biggest projects with one of the richest guys in the world, you know, the things that have to be instilled in him in order to be even there at that young age, you know. So me sitting here on this podcast right now, I'm doing it, yes, for me. This is something I want to do. But I have a son that wants to be in journalism. He actually wants to be one of the sports announcers on ESPN or one of the shows of that nature. So by me setting this foundation here and sending that to him, it's like, dude, you already have a template. Whether it's good or bad, take from it and grow from it. So one thing you're talking about, which I want to speak on right now, is legacy. Legacy. So everything, I want you to go a little further on that. Everything you're doing now is for the future. What's your legacy that you want to leave?
Well, you know, I share this with all my clients and students. And like I said, with my kids, you know, I teach them, you know, God gave me this passion for online marketing, you know, in the kingdom, all this kind of stuff, right? So I'm going to teach them, you know, they got the YouTube channels now, you know, I'm teaching, hey, get your YouTube channel, because that's something that'll be there for infinity. As long as YouTube is available, it'll be there for infinity.
Yeah.
You know, writing books, doing the podcast, whatever, right? All this kind of stuff. But like, I share this with my clients and students. I said, I plan to be the first. And when they say first, what are you talking about? I said, the scripture is pretty clear. It says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I look back on my family. None of my grandparents, none of my great grandparents, none of them left me with anything. And that's, I'm not knocking them, but I'm going to say, I'm looking at the scriptures. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, I made a commitment that I would be the first. And I said, I told my kids, I said, what daddy's doing, not just for y'all three. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm doing this for y'all unborn kids right now.
Yeah.
I said, when your kids are, when your kids are here, they're going to have, God willing, something for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, wow, granddaddy Chris.
Yeah.
With this. Because there are certain cultures, you know, Jewish cultures do this, you know, and they have the same Old Testament Bible that we have.
Yeah.
Right. But they do this. They leave legacies for their kids where their kids do not grow up in debt, where their kids don't even have to go to the bank and get a mortgage. Why? It's kept in house, or they have property where it's passed down from generation to generation to generation. They create wealth based off biblical principles that are there right there. Mm-hmm. But but certain cultures do this. But a lot of cultures, you know, who maybe look like us, do not. We leave debt to one another.
Come on.
You know, and that's a sad state. Because, you know, it contradicts scripture. So legacy, I plan on leaving assets. You know, the things I'm doing now is creating an asset. An asset is an income producing, you know, product or service that can continue to earn income without you having to trade time for it. You know, so I'm creating assets online that literally can continue to create income, you know, and things of that nature. So I plan on being the first in my family, you know, to do that. Not just seeing my family hit a certain income bracket, but the first to leave something to my children's children, because I believe that's a part of legacy and it's obviously scriptural, you know, to do so. But it takes use and making a decision that I'm not going to continue. I tell folks all that you have to make a decision to break the curse. Mm-hmm. And it has to start with you. The curse has to start with you, because if you don't, you teach your kids to do the same exact thing, then it's only going to continue and continue and continue. That's why I teach my kids entrepreneurship and skills and critical thinking, you know, along with wisdom from the word. You know, I teach them other opportunities outside of a job. Listen, the stuff you have online right now, social media channels with these people. I said, this is how you guys can do this. And you get in your 20s, literally most, you could be set for life in your 20s.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff that was foreign to me in my 20s.
Come on. All right. Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to close out, but I want you to have the last word. What would you tell someone that's inspired by the conversation, but still fearful of taking that next step? What do you got for them to close out? Yeah,
well, fear, there's nothing wrong being fearful. You know, the only thing wrong with being fearful is letting it stop you. You know, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, power, love, and a sound mind, right?
That's
you read throughout scriptures 365 times, it says, fear not, fear not, fear not.
Yeah.
So, and do what? Be courageous. You know, God told Joshua, don't fear, be courageous. What removes fear is simply knowledge. When you're afraid of things, you're fearful of it. You know, starting a business is fearful of a lot of people. Why? Because they've never done it before.
Yeah.
Well, How do you make it not fearful? You invest in a mentor. You know, you connect with someone like me, something like that, who's been there and done that and creating great results now. You know, so that's how you shorten the learning curve. You know, you'll overcome fear with knowledge. But the bottom line is that you need to realize that God has created you with a purpose and assignment here on this planet. Amen. You're not here by accident. Here to come here just to make a paycheck and die and go on to the next place. You're not here to come to accumulate material possessions. You're here to impact and to influence others for a bigger purpose than what you seek. And it's very important that you do, I don't care how old you are, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. Mm-hmm. I know people, all kinds of people who come in my programs who's almost 70 plus years old and said, Chris, I don't even know my purpose yet.
Man.
Now one side of me, that's disheartening, because you live all these years.
Yeah.
You know, thinking, just existing, but not living out your purpose. Well, God has created each and every one of you guys with a purpose and assignment, and that it will be natural to you, and you will flourish in it. You won't have to grind. You won't have to work. You know, you won't have to, you have to work, but you won't have to hustle. You won't have to, something that, you know, that you're like, painstakingly do, and realize that it's yours. You have to discover that. You know, that's why I help people do as well. But it's important you discover that, because once you do it, that's when you find you, because the seed is in you already. There's nothing more that needs to be in you that's not in you already. If you're created in the image of God, you're created for greatness. Every single soul, no matter what your philosophy is, no matter what your beliefs are, if you're created in the image of God, you're created for greatness. Why? Because God doesn't create junk.
Ooh.
You know? Ooh. You know, think about it.
Say that again. God doesn't create what?
God does not create junk. and the reason being is this. Think about this.
Mm-hmm.
I got a phone here. It's made by Samsung.
Mm-hmm.
One of my mentors taught me this. But Dr. Miles Monroe, he talks about this. It's made by Samsung. Samsung is a manufacturer. Well, you know what? It's to Samsung's great interest that this phone functions at 100%. capability that it does everything it's designed to do. Mm-hmm. And if it does not, it brings shame to their name, yeah. You know, but why? Because this represents Samsung. Everywhere this phone go, it represents Samsung. Mm-hmm. Well, think about this. If you're creating an image of God, and more importantly, if you are a son and daughter, you're in the mm-hmm. kingdom, God gets glory through your lifestyle. He gets glory through you discovering your assignment and flourishing in it. Why? Because his name is on you. Just like Samsung, he gets glory throughout scripture. God said, he do stuff for his name's sake. Why? Because he gets glory through you prospering. He gets glory through you discovering your assignment, you know? And so it's very important that you discover your assignment that way you can begin to flourish in it. Why? Because it gives your creator his glory, his just due. And there's no limit to the resources that he will bring through you to do that, because he's giving you an assignment. So it's very important, guys, that you discover that mm-hmm. and you begin to fulfill it. Because it's, you hear the impact more than just yourself. You hear the impact and influence the lives of others. And that only happens first and foremost by discovering your assignment through your creator.
Amen. Amen. I really appreciate that sound word. And as you were speaking about fear coming from Timothy, it's funny because I've been kind of ruminating on that on and off past couple of weeks. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And when we get that ingrained into us about taking that leap of faith, as we say loosely, man, knowing that there are greater things on the other side of fear. And when we realize what that fear is, you'll see how small, how minuscule it actually is compared to the grand scheme of everything that's going to happen. I know for where my wife and I are with our business, God has already told us that it's going to succeed. So we have to continue to plug away at it, you know, continue mm-hmm. to gain more knowledge, do more testing, all those things that we need to really hone in, be specific about that model that we have and the things that we want to do going forward. So, hey, Brother Chris, man, I really appreciate your time. You've been exciting. You've been very informative. And I know God, as you've already said, has blessed you. But as we talked about before this, he's blessing you even more. So thank you for your time. And man, we're going to connect again for sure.
Oh, most definitely. And it's okay if I give you guys a listeners a yes. website where they can go.
Please.
Because I got some tools they can use right now. Like if you feel God's calling you to the, you know, the marketplace, you know, there's something I teach later called the Seven Mountains. But if you feel God is calling you to the marketplace to solve some problems, one, I would say is go enroll in my masterclass. I got a masterclass called the Money and Marketing Masterclass. You can go there and enroll at moneyandmarketingmasterclass.com. You can go there, moneyandmarketingmasterclass.com. Then also, I have a lot of tools and resources at kingdommarketingsecrets.com. They can go there as well, kingdommarketingsecrets.com. It's a lot of tools and resources, depending on where you are or in your life and business, that'll help you as well. And those are free tools they can get access mm-hmm. to as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Hey, guys, once again, this is Selwyn Robbins, your host for Mandated. I'm glad that you were able to join us, and please provide your feedback. Would love to hear from you. And if you have any questions for sure for Mr. Harold, please put that in the comments, send in an email just as well, because he, as he said, wants to do what he can to help you grow your business, come out of that place from fear and go into the future of what God has called you to according to the purpose that is already set. Hey guys, love you, and we'll be talking to you again. All right, see, did not tell you. A lot of information about entrepreneurship from our guest host today, Chris Harrell, at thekingdommarketingsecrets.com. You can also find him on a podcast by the same name. Now, so with that, I want to leave you with a few thoughts that I gathered from our show today, and hoping you can utilize those to catapult you to where you want to be, whether at your job or even going into entrepreneurship. But at the same time, you can use these things in your own household, within the community, within ministry, whoever you're connecting to, you can be part of this move of going from where you are to where you want to be. So those thoughts are moving past fear, and that comes from the scripture in 2 Timothy. I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
also making sure you have a support structure, as he referred to his wife, Shaylon, and the kids that he also got involved into entrepreneurship just as well. Also, every time that you see a problem, that's a potential for a new business venture. It may not be you, but at the same time, it can be. But every time you do see that, take a moment and pause and see what you can at least do to correct that matter that's right before you. Many a times we pass up opportunities, and that opportunity then goes over to somebody else. And when you see it in another person's hands, the first thing you say is, man, I wish I had done that for myself. One other thought is, I want to say is very important, is a shift in mindset. As we had spoke about briefly, getting to a maturity level of where you are. Because the way you're operating right now is the same way you're going to operate in business. And matter of fact, I was just speaking to my wife, and what she heard from somebody else, if not saw, was this thing here, is that you're able to work 9 to 5 for somebody else, but when it comes to entrepreneurship, you only work 6 to 8, 2 hours, giving yourself all those breaks. You don't have the maturity level. You don't have the energy, the insight, the vision, or whatnot for the things that you really want to do. And matter of fact, you may not have the commitment. So you really need to work on building that up, because as Mr. Harrell said, you know, once you make that leap into entrepreneurship, you don't have checks coming every week or every 2 weeks or once a month. It's all on you. And you don't know when those funds are coming in, because it's all on your shoulders. So please don't just jump into this hoping everything is going to be right. Be strategic about it. And last but not least, also what is very important is make sure you understand the purpose in the very thing that you're doing. All right. Hey, guys, as a pleasure. It's always, as always, it's a pleasure to be speaking to you. This is the Mandated Podcast Show, and I am your host, Selwyn Robbins. Looking forward to speaking to you once again.